Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here today and trust the Lord's blessing on you. I thought today we'd just move off of our subject, so I'd like to read one of a very well-known passage of Scripture. It's Psalm 103, so you might want to look at that. Psalm 103. So we think of just the celebrations that we have coming this week and also during the month of December. The book of Psalms probably has more verses and passages on giving of thanks than any other place in Scripture. There's just many, many places. And this psalm is one. And so we'll look at it today. I'm just going to read the first five verses and just quickly a few thoughts from this passage today to help us in our time of this celebration at this time of the year. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You saw that list of who does this and who does that. Things that the Lord does for us, things that we have, blessings that we have because of his love for us. So this well-known psalm, it really glorifies the Lord and his wonderful, great, wonderful character and the gifts that he has given to us. We heard a psalm earlier this morning, and I was just thinking about these psalms. If I asked you, what's your favorite psalm, what are you going to say? Psalm 23, right? That's what you're going to say. Psalm 23. You all know that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And what a joy and blessing that's been to us. And then there's Psalm 100. You know that one. These psalms, we have those in our memory. We sing them. Some of these psalms have been set to music. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord, and so on. Wonderful psalms, because we sing them. We have them memorized, and what a blessing they are to us. So that sound, those two psalms, and I think maybe in third place, or right up with one of the top three psalms, has to be Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And this psalm begins and ends with that phrase. We've only looked at the first five verses, and we'll center our thoughts on those verses today with a few other comments. But bless the Lord, O my soul. And if you turn to the last verse of the psalm, you'll see those same words again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When we think of how do we bless the Lord, we usually think of the Lord blessing us, don't we? We look for the Lord's blessing, for gifts and answers to prayer that he blesses us with. And it's not that we bless the Lord because we can give him something like he gives us. But we bless the Lord by showing him thanksgiving and adoration and praise for what he has done for us. And we think of all that the Lord has given, and we bless the Lord with what we say and what we do. And the thought of this psalm, I think there are many, many lessons in this psalm, many practical lessons as we read through these verses. I think one of the major ideas of this psalm by David, who wrote the psalm, is that we need to bless the Lord with more than just what we say, more than with just the words of our lips. We need to bless the Lord with as he says here, bless the Lord with all that is within me. And in our lives, how can we bless the Lord? Well, we bless the Lord by how we live. We bless the Lord by how we serve him. And we bless the Lord with how we use our gifts and our abilities and the resources that God has given to us. Everything we do, David says, all that is within me, bless the Lord. Brings to mind that people are watching, aren't they? Especially unbelievers. They're watching. And they notice how we live. They notice what we do. My neighbors, you know what they notice of me? They notice that I go to church every Sunday morning. And my car is right in the driveway, right next to their window where they're sleeping. I can't help but think it. When I start that car, they say, oh boy, there he goes again, going to church again. And they've mentioned it every morning. People notice what we're doing. And it's a way that we can testify. It's a way that we can bless the Lord. Everything that we do, all that is within us, we will use and we should use to bless the Lord and bring honor and glory to his name. And so this psalm gives us many thoughts, many ideas of how we should praise the Lord and bless him for his goodness to us. Said in verse 1, bless the Lord for his personal benefits. And maybe today we'll just look at those. I think there's five of them I have here. We'll look at the five benefits that the Lord has given to us, how we can bless him and thank him. Five personal benefits that the Lord gives to his people. And then the next section, long section there, of blessing the Lord for his loving kindness and his graciousness and love for us. And just a couple of points there. And then we can bless the Lord and praise the Lord for who he is. It talks about his sovereignty, the fact that he is God, he is the creator, he is the all-powerful one in the universe. Bless the Lord because he is the king and ruler of this entire universe. So let's look at just the first five verses for a few moments together. So let's be thankful for the personal benefits that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you look at these verses, you'll see what they are. It says in verse 1, bless the Lord, he pardons all of our iniquities. And of course, the greatest blessing, the greatest thankfulness that we have for the Lord is forgiveness of sin. Pardon from iniquity, what the Lord has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We just remembered that this morning, didn't we? We remembered the Lord's suffering for us. When I think of that, I think of that song. I love that song. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless. Godlike and divine, but the fair glories of thy grace, more godlike and unrivaled shine. It says, who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? That song, of course, inspired by the verse in Micah chapter 7, says, who is a God like thee who pardons iniquity? What a wonderful gift of salvation. And we must never forget to thank the Lord for the wonderful gift of salvation. It's the first thing we should do as we praise the Lord. And as I've mentioned, and has already been said here today, we do this every Sunday morning here. We come together to thank the Lord and bless his name for the wonderful gift of salvation. Then in verse 3, it says, he heals all our diseases. And this is a difficult passage sometimes and concept for us to understand. We look at this verse and the Lord promises to heal all of our diseases, and then you say to yourself, well, wait a minute, why do we still get sick? Why do we die? Why do our loved ones pass on to eternity? And we still have illnesses. We think of this truth. We take this statement in faith, and there's more than one aspect or one part of the answer to this question. First of all, we're healed from the spiritual disease of sin. And the Bible speaks of sin as a disease. And this is a spiritual application, of course. Truth that we have this terrible disease of sin, and the Lord heals that spiritual disease, the spiritual healing of worst of all diseases, the disease of sin. The Lord heals us, and it's something that we do not have to worry about or remember anymore. Second part of this truth here is, ultimately, and we know this, is that someday we will have disease-free physical bodies forever. It's the great hope of Christians, isn't it? We cling to this hope that someday we will be with the Lord in glory in perfect communion, free from sin, free from sickness, and free from illness. It's the great hope of Christians. And it's that hope that we have when all of you have done this, I have done this, gathered around this sick bed of a loved one, maybe not much more time before the Lord takes him home. We've all been there. We've all suffered like that. And we pray. We ask for the Lord's grace. We look forward to a day of no more pain or no more suffering. But we hold this truth, don't we? In faith, we hold the truth that the Lord heals our diseases. We also experience that in our own lives. Many of you have been healed from diseases and operations, terrible things in your lives. And we're so thankful that the Lord heals our diseases. It's a promise that he's made in his word. And we cling to that. And we should cling to that because the Lord keeps his promises. Someday we will be reunited, free from dying and free from disease. No more pain, no more suffering, because the Lord does heal, and he can heal. And so we hold that truth. And as we see it so often in our lives, we know that someday it will be a reality in our lives when we gather together in heaven. Such a difficult truth to express, and I don't really know that I can explain it, except that we need to trust the Lord, don't we? Let's trust the Lord that he heals our diseases and that we can be encouraged because we know that he cares for us. Now it says in verse 4, he redeems our life from the pit. I've had heard stories, even in my own family, of times when members of my family have been protected and cared for without even knowing what happened to them. Sometimes the Bible speaks of death as the pit of death, and that it's not, when it says he redeems our life from the pit, it's not talking about the pit of that abyss, bottomless pit of the lake of fire. This is just a euphemism or a thought that he redeems our life from the pit of death. He redeems us from death. And I think there are probably many times in our lives, and we don't know all of the times that the Lord has rescued us from death, do we? Probably not. As we're driving in our car, and we don't know what's gone on ahead of us or behind us. We're in a moment of notice, a moment of time, something tragic could have happened. And the Lord has delivered us from death. And I think that's what this verse is talking about. We're not sure. We don't even know how often the Lord has delivered us from danger and death. But we can be careful. We can be thankful that he has given us this wonderful truth. Of course, this psalm was written by David. You all know that. And how often the Lord delivered him from his oppressors, those that even sought to kill him. And David writes this in this psalm and others, his experiences when the Lord protected him from his enemies. And we can be careful. We live in a dangerous world, really. And how often has the Lord delivered us from danger and death. It's one of his wonderful blessings. Look at verse 4. It says, he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. We're not only forgiven, but we enjoy the love and the tender care of the Lord, who's the God of this universe. Not only salvation, not only health and protection from the dangers of the world, but we enjoy the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord. This is more like what would be expressed in a family, isn't it? Now, as I'm getting older, this loving kindness, and I see expressed, George reminded us about it this morning, the kindness of a family. We belong to the family of the Lord, and his kindness and tenderness is evident in our life every day. Probably one of the most well-known verses that explains this to us. You know that verse, Lamentations chapter 3. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's love is steadfast. It's there. It never wavers. It's strong and it's secure. And we experience it in our lives all the time. The Lord's mercies are his deeds. It could be translated his steadfast deeds. They show us God's devotions to us. They never end. And the idea in this verse is that this love for the Lord has for his children, it's similar to the love that a mother has for her child. It's not dependent on how good we are or what we do or how much even we love back. It's not dependent on our circumstances, how rich or poor we are. But God's faithfulness is greater than anything we can experience. It goes beyond our human frailties. The faithfulness of the Lord is something which blesses us every day. And that should give us confidence, right? It gives us confidence and hope that things are going to work out in this world as we pass through this world. You know, this verse is written in the book of Lamentations. What is that? Lamentations. It's suffering. You know, it's worrying, not complaining, but just in awe and stricken by all of the affairs of this world. Jeremiah was lamenting the condition that he was in and that the world was in. And in the midst of all of his suffering, he can enjoy hope and confidence in the Lord's love for him, in the Lord's faithfulness for him. And so that should be, it should be a blessing for us this morning as well, to live in the confidence that the Lord is steadfast in his love and his goodness toward us. And finally, in verse 5, we have this phrase, he satisfies us with good things. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. And many scriptures come to mind, one particularly, but a couple others. It says in Psalm 84, verse 11, no good thing. Here's the phrase, good thing. We all like good things, don't we? Like good things. All good things, no good things will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then, of course, that well-known verse in Isaiah, which uses the same picture here, verse 40, Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles. And it says, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. We all get tired sometimes, don't we? We all get discouraged at different times in our lives. Sometimes it just seems difficult to carry on. especially during times of bereavement and sorrow. But we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust the Lord for strength to continue on living for Him. By the way, it says good things. Try to remember the good things that the Lord gives you. That's a good exercise to try sometime. What are the good things? And we could just begin to list all the good things. Like the song says, count your blessings. Count your blessings. See what God has done. When you do that, when you're discouraged, when you are discouraged, the song says, when your tempest tossed, when things are down, when you're not happy, count your blessings and see what the Lord has done for you. What wonderful truths we find in this passage, that the Lord's benefits, what He has given to us, forgives our iniquities. He's given us the wonderful gift of forgiveness and salvation. Heals your diseases, and we can thank Him for His provision for us and care for us, even in this sick and sinful world. And then we have seen about the Lord's love and His kindness for us. He satisfies us with good things, finally, and He gives us strength to carry on in the world in which we live. Isn't there a lot to be thankful for that the Lord has given to us? And I hope that during this time we will really be able to come to the Lord with thankfulness for all of the goodness that He has given to us. There's just one or two other phrases just quickly that I'd like to just touch on, because as I read through this chapter, I'm not going to preach through the whole chapter, but down through the end of this chapter, there's a couple of things that have just stood out. In verse 11, here's a phrase, and when I read it, I just stop and look at this verse. The heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. It's just the thoughts that we have been thinking about. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. We look out into God's universe and what He has created, and David uses that to illustrate his point, to show the scope of God's love and kindness and blessing. I guess the Bible speaks about heaven being up. We always think of heaven being up, right? And you know the jokes. Well, if you go to the other opposite side of the world, then up is down, right? But we look up into the heavens, and if you go to the other side, they look up and see the heavens just like we see them here. But the point is that when you look up, it never ends, does it? It goes on, and astronomers have tried forever to explain it, and I don't buy their explanation. God created it, we'll never understand it. It just goes on forever and ever. And then the difference between, you know, north and south and east and west, well, if you start walking north, you're going to walk all the way to the top of the world, and you keep walking, what happens? You're not walking north anymore, you're walking south now, right? And so you walk around all the way, and pretty soon you're walking north again. But when it comes to east and west, that doesn't happen. You start walking west, when do you finish walking west around the world? Never. It goes on forever and ever. It never stops. You will never walk east if you're walking west. And David uses that as an illustration of teaching us that the Lord doesn't remember our sin anymore. They are put away as far as the east is from the west. And so you can say, well, I'm going to go back and find my sin and start walking. The Lord says you'll never find it. It's put away as far as the east is from the west. It teaches us a wonderful truth that we see in this psalm, we see in God's Word. Our sins have been forgiven, and we certainly do not have to worry about them anymore. What a wonderful truth we have in this psalm that teaches us. Then the next paragraph speaks about the loving kindness of the Lord. We won't talk about, we've talked about that a lot, but it tells us that the Lord crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He gives us loyal and steadfast, he's a merciful God. His unconditional love is rained down upon us. It's just one more little thought that some of these ideas just sort of jump out at me as I'm looking at God's Word, but kind of a contrast in, what can we say, in the thinking of the Lord, if we can phrase it that way. But it says that the phrase that we read in Jeremiah, it says, I will remember their sins no more, or the earlier in the verse, in the chapter. Back up in verse 1, I think, I will remember their sins no more. It's quoted in Jeremiah, and it's quoted in Hebrews a little bit later on. The Lord no longer remembers our sin. We've seen that in verse 12. He's forgiven our sins. He's removed our sins, and he doesn't remember them. We don't have to constantly be rolling over and thinking about our past lives. That's past. The Lord has forgotten it. And we need to live for him and to serve him. The blessing that the Lord says, I will remember their sins no more. In other words, it says, I will forget their sins. This is what the Lord has forgotten. He has forgotten our sins. But then look at verse 15, verse 14. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we're dust. Isn't this interesting? In verse 1, or earlier in the chapter, he says, I don't remember. But here in verse 14, he says, I do remember. God forgets some things, at least putting that in human terms. God forgets some things, but other things he remembers. He forgets that we're sinners, forgets that we're rebellious. Forgets that we have even rejected him before we came to know him. But he remembers that we're dust and we're fragile. He remembers that we need to be encouraged. He remembers that we need to be cared for. And he remembers that he loves us. And so we need to ourselves remember that the Lord cares for our lives and for each one of us. He forgets our sins, but he remembers that we are his children and that he is there to provide and protect us. So may the Lord help us to be thankful for his wonderful love for us and all his provision that he has given to us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these wonderful verses that we've seen that express the great love of the Lord for us. Thank you that he has given us salvation. Not only that, wonderful benefits, the things that the Lord has shown to us, his loving kindness, his provision, his deliverance, his care for us, and the future that we have someday to be with him. Help us during this time to just remember all that we have because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the psalmist says here, this morning we can come, we can bless the Lord because of what he has done for us. And we give you thanks for this in his own worthy name. Amen.